Welcome to the Nimrod Horror Podcast, where we sit, sip, and talk horror shit. I am Joey. This is Leo.
Fuck no. My name is... Hold on. Okay, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right.
That was a fail. El Codronio. I'm Codronio. Well, that's a fail. Fuck it.
But yeah,
I can be like a hunchback.
Yes, master. Yes.
Speaking of hunchbacks, I guess kind of, we are going back to the silent film era, which we have not done in a while.
Season one.
Yeah. And me and Leo are, you know, we're fans of every era of like horror movies. You know, if it's silent films, black and white, and color, blah blah blah. We just enjoy. What? Before we get started. Oh. Before we get started to anything, the film that we are talking about is from 1925. It's The Monster. But before we get started into the film, as we always do on this show, Leo, what are we sipping on today?
Well, from now on, I'm going to go back to my beer drinking ways. I will be sipping on some new beers that I have never tried. It was between this one and another one, but since we're making a beautiful comeback.
Okay.
St. Arnold's comeback. That's what I'm going to have. It's a Belgian style wheat beer. Never had it. I was going to go with an H-Town one. You know, keep it Houston, but when I saw this, I'm like, fuck yeah, season three. Let's do this. We're making our comeback.
So, like, for me, I've had the smorgasbord of things, and I do actually have St. Arnold. I don't know which one it is. It's like the one like has all the little crystals on it, but I don't know the name of it. Basically, I got like a handful of like discounted drinks, and that's what I bought. But like right now, I am drinking a Bud Light Seltzer lemonade. It's
wait. So you have actual good beer in the background, but you start off with a seltzer. What is wrong with you?
Oh, and I also have like Southern Star Bombshell Blonde, which I love. That's a great blonde beer.
As a fan of the Nimrod Horror Podcast, I demand you open that beer first. As an associate and one of the head tables of this podcast, I demand you open that beer and start drinking that beer instead of that seltzer.
Well, like, this is like you know, I really like stuff.
Joey, chug it now.
I will.
I think my Democratic vote demands you open that other beer and enjoy that beer.
Bombshell Blonde is like really good. I've had it like a few times before. It's so good.
It's light, but it'll do the job.
Yeah, it is light, but like, cause that like, well, I'm not like a big blonde beer fan, but.
But you love the blonde women.
It's like. This one's really good. But anyway,
Joey,
Leo.
Joey, don't turn red. Hey, guys, Leo. I just love fucking around with Joey.
Yes, he does.
All right. What's up?
All right. So, Mr. Leo, when this comes out, the NFL season will have already been started. You're like the last weekend of like preseason games for like we were recording this. So
20 in a row. Baltimore Ravens 20 in a row.
I want to ask you, Mr. Leo, who makes Who makes the Super Bowl? Who do you see making the Super Bowl?
Too early to decide, to be honest. I feel like maybe one of my top picks. Like, I honestly, I for some reason, in the bottom of my heart, I don't want it to be come true. I feel Lamar Jackson's gonna fucking change it this year. It's a spine tingling feeling that I have that Lamar Jackson will be fucking injured this year. I swear to God, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want it, but it's a feel. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm going into the season feeling, oh, fucking the Baltimore Ravens got this shit. They're still playing off the preseason good. It's been, you know, some good runs. Since 2013, they didn't make it to the playoffs or anything. Still held a good defense. They still have a good defense now, and it's been working on it again, thank God. But they also have an offense. But I feel like Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt. Now, I'm even talking about my favorite team. I have that feeling. I feel the Bills. I feel Buffalo might have a good chance.
I can see that.
Feel Buffalo might have a good chance.
I still think that Buffalo needs a few more years, but like they will definitely win that division, I believe.
So I got Buffalo. On the other side, I want to take it with experience. I want to say the Packers.
Like, I picked the Packers, like, last two seasons, actually. I've always picked the Packers.
Yeah, I think old boy Discount Double Check might actually make it to a Super Bowl. And I don't know if he'll win it. I don't know if he'll win it. I know Rodgers can make it. I feel like he can make it. He has it in him to make it. Yeah. Does he have the squad to make it? And will he have the squad to actually pull it off? Those are the things.
I think he does. Packers are definitely like my top three picks. But again, like in the past two seasons, I've been picking the Packers.
You want to go something different, huh? See, for me, I think like this is my first time. No, this might be my second time picking the Packers. And the first time I ever picked the Packers from the beginning, they won the Super Bowl.
I feel that with Rodgers' issues with the Packers, I don't know if it will be there 100%. Again, like, he was about to be, like, you know, put it out or, like, traded or something. So, I don't know.
I got some faith he'll be there for the whole thing. I think he'll be there for the whole ride. That's my thing. Yeah. I honestly think he'll be there for the whole ride.
But like, will we be as committed? That's the thing.
We will see. When is their first bye?
Their first bye, the Packers.
It's a late bye though, I believe. Well, I have to double check on their season, but I think their bye is a late one. Or a mid one. If he's not playing good by the bye, you know how much he wants to be in the team.
Right.
That's my pick on Rodgers.
I know, like for me, it's tough to bet against Tampa Bay because like a part of me wants to just say Tampa Bay is going to win it again, but back-to-back championships are really tough to do.
Which Tom Brady has done.
Yeah.
No, not even weird to say, but Tom Brady has done.
Right.
But he's not rolling in with the same defense though.
It's still like pretty much the same core team though.
But then when you think about it like this too. Once he got that core team going on, that core team didn't hit to like halfway the season. People didn't know how to offend and like offense, like defense and offense, that team. the Chiefs, when they got the victory on them, it was not a fluke. It was a battle, but it was shown in the Super Bowl once they actually fought against an actual Tom Brady team that has Tom Brady, like, being the leader.
Again, I said this on this, like, podcast before. That Super Bowl last season was one of the worst ever. It was boring because, like, it was such a landslide. And, yeah, just, like Kansas, their, like, O-line just kind of broke down. And
anyway. I mean, Kansas also had some injuries, too. So, I mean, it's not to say, hey, you know, they were injured, give them a break. Yeah, but you also have to have your backups at the same or somewhat at the same level of those defensive players and shit. So,
well, that concludes the Nimrod Horror Sports Podcast part of it.
Yeah. Put me on ESPN, please, for love of God. Put me on ESPN around midnight. Drunk talk. Leo and Joey.
Man, like
DSPN.
Like a drunk sports talk. I'm down for that any time. So, all right. Let's get into the monster. So I won't lie to you. This movie, I kind of delayed watching it because I've been so addicted to Riverdale.
I've seen, like, your damn posts.
Yeah.
So like, how's the Archie show?
It's really good. I'm on season 2 now because I don't really binge shows too much, but this show I've been binging. Yeah, so good. But yeah, so like this is the reason why I kind of like pushed off the monster, but I guess I'm kind of glad I pushed it off because like it's more relevant in my mind if like I get to watch like a Wednesday show. But yeah, Leo, I guess you want to take the lead on this episode, so I'll have you take the lead. I do have a few things to say.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Did you watch the movie?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
I like this angle because I look more skinny.
But, like, okay, so, like, a quick thing about this movie. It is a silent movie, and I think a lot of silent movies were really good at capturing
expression,
like photos and like things like that, because like this film visually looks really good, you know.
Not on YouTube.
Not on YouTube, but
yeah, it's on, like, Amazon, by the way, guys. Check it out for real.
Like if you look up like Nosferatu on like YouTube, it might look pretty bad, but like this one, yeah, on Amazon Prime with like the actual like whatever. It looks really good. I forgot the director's name, but
Roland West.
Huh?
Roland West.
Yeah, like he did a great job of just featuring the actors in the scene and capturing the whole spectrum. Anyway, dive in this movie. Mr. Leo?
Did you know this movie was a play?
I did not know that.
It's originally a play that opened in New York on August 9th, 1922. It actually had 101 performances, by the way. I don't know how many reviews you've seen on this movie. I don't know how many... did you watch like anything or read anything on it? But it's considered one of the first like old dark house genre films.
Yeah, like Like, unfortunately, I did not look up anything about this movie.
Jesus. Thank you for your honesty.
But again, like, I was addicted to, like, Riverdale and work, so, you know, I don't know.
I guess. But yeah, the old dark house, you know what that old dark house genre is, right? Like,
yeah.
Which I actually have a little ripe about, though. We'll talk about that later. And it is one of the first, or considered the first, mad scientist films with the minions. So, what do you think about that? Like, how far back can you think in cinematic history, like, there you have the mad scientist in the movies? Well, I mean, this is really far back. It's 1925, so.
Yeah. When you said that, like I was instantly trying to think of, like, another movie that came out before 25. There's, like,
which, like, I can think of one.
Like, there was a lot of, like, mad scientist movies.
But, I mean, for the silent era?
Yeah. But, like, all the ones that I'm thinking about came out after 1925. So, I think
I have one because of the subject matter. But it is 1918's Frankenstein movie.
Oh, okay.
That short, you know, 18-minute movie. It is, that should be the first mad scientist movie, I would think. Right or wrong?
I would count that, yeah.
So
yeah, that's a really good, like, silent movie or short movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, but this one's considered to be the first.
Well, I guess people don't always count Frankenstein as a mad scientist. He is, but I feel that people don't always.
I mean, that's also like saying the monster is called Frankenstein when it's not Frankenstein. The monster is actually the human being who actually created Frankenstein. But then I actually thought about something.
Okay.
He could be dubbed Frankenstein because he is created by Dr. Frankenstein. So he can have the surname Frankenstein because the father is actually the creator. Oh, I should stop drinking right about now. Oh, God, bless you. May all the gods above and the gods below bless you.
So,
Lon Chaney Jr. just said, "What the fuck?" and slapped you upside the head. Not even Jr., the senior slapped you upside the head.
Yeah, that's one thing. This film does star Lon Chaney.
The man of 1,000 expressions. Faces, expressions, whatever.
Again, like, I've seen, like, Lon Chaney films a handful of times, and, like, he looks different, like, every movie.
He did all his own makeup for all his scenes, by the way. Oh, man, wouldn't it be nice to have, like, a London After Midnight film? Like, actual release, like, press? Like.
Oh, yeah. Man, like, that's,
an amazing lost film, apparently. Yeah. But the images are so, I'm like, what the, I'm wondering what the fuck is going on in that.
I've, like, thought about, like, doing that for this, like, podcast, too. Like, that movie, I mean, images, and, like, when they do, like, the little, like, like, how they have, like, the kind of recreation version of it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems so good. Yeah. And Chaney's makeup in that movie is, wow. He still looks like creepy to this day.
Hey, it puts literally, like, well, honestly, all Chaney's makeup literally puts to shame a lot of, like, like, makeup artists to this day. That's the thing. And it could, maybe it's the black and white, maybe it's the greenness about it, but it's it, he does it so good. And it's not even just the makeup, it's his facial expressions itself. Yeah. It is beyond epic. And like, that's something I'm gonna hit later on. Like, wow. All right, so let's dive into this film.
Dive into it.
All right, so we actually start off with a little panel that says a human monster watched with cat eyes for a victim, which is wondering what the hell's going on. But we have a wealthy farmer, John Bowen, get ran off a road by a very creepy character, which is unnamed yet. Dude, what you think about this character? Like, did you think it was like brought up pretty damn good, or like, I mean, I thought it was a pretty devious plan what they had. Kind of cartoony-ish, but it worked. Like putting a mirror on the road.
It was a bit cartoony, but I think it was done really well. Again, like, whenever you watch like films like this, I always kind of like try to put myself in that time period a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I was a viewer in like 1925, I think that would have been super scary to see run you off the road like that, I think.
I mean, also, by the way, the speed limit on the track was 20 miles per hour. We look 20 miles per hour now. That shit looks kind of stupid. Did you notice that? It was like 20 miles an hour. I was like,
I think I did notice it, but I like forgot about it. But yeah,
it's like, damn, that's as fast as that car was going. What's the max speed on that bitch? 40? 30? How much horsepower do you think that bitch had? Hey, but I mean, the fucking wreck was epic. Steven Spielberg would have been pretty okay with that. Oh no, you know, Michael Bay would have been okay with that. Nice little car rollover.
Michael Bay would have wanted more explosion.
Oh yeah, as soon as it hits the ground. Yeah. But dude, so this is actually something that made me laugh, and I had to write it down. So apparently, like, the little, like, of course, you know, it's a silent film, so it tells you like a little brief history of what's going on with everything. So because of Bowen's like disappearance, it literally said Bowen's disappearance was Danberg's biggest thrill since the milkman eloped with the bootlegger's wife. Dude, I was like, wait a minute. And at that moment, I knew, is this a comedy? Or is it an actual fucking horror film? Dude, this movie was the first, in my opinion, or my view from the time period. I usually see, you know, movies of their time, they stick to a format, you know what I mean? But this one's being a little smart-ass film. And it has some lightheartedness comedy to it. Which is something that could affect, but can make this movie still work. And future generation of films. Not trying to say it now, but I'll kind of say it at that point. So, we got, you know, everybody's looking at this crash scene or whatnot. What do you think about someone having a How to Be a Detective book in a crime scene, in a movie?
I mean, you know, like, as you kind of like brought it up a bit, I was thinking about this too now. Is this the first like comedy horror film? But
it's very lighthearted in the beginning, by the way.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you gotta like learn detective work stuff.
Oh yeah, by the way, man, I wish I went to his college. I'll talk about it later. But the character's name is Johnny, by the way. He also finds like a nice little paperwork. Everybody's talking or kind of mimicking their mouths or what's not, but you find something with Edward Sanitarium. This will play a big role in the film. So at some point, I don't know, like, I'm thinking sanitarium. I'm thinking a lot of crazy shit going down. What about you?
Well, like, so the film, like, starts off really strong, in my opinion, but sanitarium, I don't know, like, this is when the film kind of slowed down, I guess we'd say.
I thought it was slow from the beginning.
But, like, it had enough, like, story, enough, like, you know, things going on.
I mean, we're just at the first 5 minutes of the movie.
But again, but I did want to ask you this, Mr. Leo. Mm-hmm. As we are both watchers of silent movies, you know, there's just like this movie, you see people having like these conversations, like talking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
There's like maybe one sentence. How do you feel about that? The fact that they don't really, because like there's a lot of silent movies that like do this.
They all like seem like they have a bunch of chit chat, and next thing you know, like they will like have like an entire conversation and then just give you one screen with what they're saying. Sum up what they're saying. This movie was actually big on that. I didn't mind it so much because I felt like the actors themselves were actually portraying the scenes right. I feel like sometimes when you have too many of the panels showing you what the words are going on is something where I don't feel like the actors were actually doing their jobs. And I think for the silent era, I think especially silent era, it's very hard to get your point across and, you know, your message across, but it's good when the actors can do it and kind of be shown doing it without actually doing it. You know what I mean? Because they can't actually speak. So I felt like that was, I think this movie actually accomplished that really, really good. So, back to the synopsis of what this we're talking about and why am I dancing like this? Joey, hit your robot scene. Ate gato, chingue su madre, pin, chichichu. Just cursed in Korea. And if we have a Korean person that actually understand what I just said, do not tell the rest of the world. All right. So, but we actually introduce more to three main characters. It's Johnny, Amos, and Betty. They work at a general store. They both of them love Betty, by the way. It's one of those, you know what I mean? One has the money, the other one's the little punk guy. I wonder who's gonna get the girl.
Three ways, basically. What are you saying?
Huh?
They have three ways.
It's a three way. Goddamn, Joey. What you been watching lately? What's Riverdale been teaching you? So, you know, we have the scene where you have them at the general store. Betty comes in. She's asking for apples, whatever. So we have a, you know, what's his name? The Constable Mason, trying to figure out some business, you know. Because apparently, you know, like this shit's huge. Bowman's like disappearance is like the hugest shit that's gone on.
Yeah.
Since apparently someone ran off with a milkman. I don't know. whatever it was. So, I mean, Johnny tries to actually, like, show his, you know, his nice little, I found a piece of paper, you know, hey, you know, but no one takes him serious. You know, I think that's fucked up. What do you think?
Yeah.
So, everybody leaves, minding their own business. Johnny's like, well, they'll take me seriously when my detective diploma comes in. I swear to God, I lost it right there. I paused the movie right then and there. The boy literally said, they will take me seriously.
Yeah, that's why, like...
when my detective diploma comes in.
I didn't think about it much, but yeah, this good chances is the first, like, horror comedy. Again, like, at the time, there wasn't many horror movies, so... I think this might have been the first horror comedy.
But Lon Chaney had done some epic, serious horror comedies, but this one is giving you some...
What would you say a horror comedy that, like, Chaney did?
None that I've seen, but I'm pretty sure he did. I haven't seen that many silent films myself, too, by the way. I've seen some. I've seen a couple, but I've never seen extremely that many. Well, I literally in my notes wrote, I'm like, I wonder when this fool's diploma is going to come in. Next scene. I literally wrote, well, Johnny gets his diploma. That motherfucker came in the mail. Dude, it literally said, certifying that he has passed his examinations and is fully competent to work on any case requiring the services of an experienced detective. I was like, oh my, dude, I've once again lost it. I shit you not. And then what's funny is they give him a gun, they give him handcuffs, they give him a little sheriff's badge. I'm like, is it that easy to become a cop in those days?
Apparently.
I wonder what course he took. Shit. I wonder, did he take the bribe? I think he took the bribe. The
bribe. Is the bribe, like, even around anymore?
I don't fucking know. But I'm pretty sure that's where he got his degree at. So, you remember anything from the movie? Because we're going to Betty's party right now.
Betty's party.
Yeah, we're going to Betty's party. It's a typical party, you know. You know, in the 1920s. Talk to the old people. Talk to the head guy. Talk to the girl. The girl looks at you. Gives you the eyes like, yeah, let's go outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And next thing you know, old boy comes in a nice tuxedo and everything. And a Fall Out Boy song should play right about there.
You know what's weird? So, when watching this movie, I was actually listening to Fall Out Boy song. But.
Can you see the scenario, though?
Yeah. But I want to, like, ask you this. I was going to, like, ask it later, but I was like, well, since you bring up a band. There's, like, one of the greatest whatever DVD music things was Nosferatu with, like, Tempo Negative.
Mm-hmm.
What band or what sound do you think fits this movie the best? I always think about this a bit. I don't really have a band I picked out, but
I would do a compilation.
Well, like, what type of sound would it be? Or do you just have a mixed sound?
It'd be like between 2003 to 2007 or 8. Punk, post-punk, hardcore. It was pretty much those bands of those days, like My Chemical Romance. When it comes to this soundtrack, like, if you would redo this movie, even like, fuck it, Joey, let's become producers and directors. Let's fucking remake. No, seriously, like, you can remake this movie and you can use like those type of sounds and those type of bands, because the music would, if you watch the movie in its full, it would literally, like, you understand what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, like that sound just fits this movie, you know. MCR, Fall Out Boy,
Aiden at some point.
Aiden, yeah. Thursday, you know, all these
Hawthorne
bands.
Heights.
Yeah.
Pretty much a lot of the Victory bands. Honestly, Victory Records could have fucking just owned the rights to the fucking music on this record, to be honest. Yeah. Dude, good. I didn't even think about that. Like, I made the comment, but I never actually thought about the full concept of it. We can make a black and white emo movie. All right. We'll just have to get the emo. I mean, would they work for a lot? No, I don't think so. You know, the old emo stars. We can have the emo stars from back in the day who starred in this film. Well, not besides Gerard Way, he's gonna be like, oh no, I need the cabbage, I need the money, you know. I'll be like, bruh.
So, you know.
Nah, I can find the guy from Action to do it for cheaper. Come and tits. You ever heard of Action?
Yeah. Action, strangely, again, like, was a band that my brother Royce told me about. And I know that Action is named after a Depeche Mode song, which is cool. But musically, I just did not really get into them. I thought they were decent, you know?
It's weird. On their first album, I liked every other song. On their next album, I liked every other third for the first couple tracks, and then every other fourth, like the one fourth song after that.
Yeah.
It was a very strong, like, you're trying too hard. But apparently they fell out with Victory because of their disputes and didn't like the way Victory was holding them. Or what they were trying to do with them. So they kind of blame it on Victory, but a lot of bands also came out and said, you know, Victory Records screwed up our sound because they wanted this and they wanted that.
Like, Victory Records is like almost going down as a legendary bad label.
Kind of like Lookout Records too.
Yeah. Like, they screwed like people out of money. They like made them sound different. They did their albums wrong. They didn't like promote the way the band wanted to be.
And
promoted.
The cabbage.
Yeah.
Especially cabbage.
Yeah. It's like Aiden claims that they made zero money off those albums. So,
I mean, it's kind of weird because I've been to Aiden shows here in Houston. And Houston has a very crappy crowd. Like, so when it comes to the underground shows, or like, you know, like not how do you say, what's that fucking festival we always have?
Buzzfest,
or, you know, like shit like that. Unless it's something like that, or being played at the Cynthia's Wooden Pavilion Center, it's not gonna make any money.
But even then, you know, like, you know, if you have a big band, like, let's say, you know, Metallica comes to Houston, which is a huge
band. They're paying Reliant.
Yeah. But
or NRG now.
Yeah. But they don't instantly like sell out, but they'll sell out at other cities. But Houston, the fourth biggest city in the U.S., does not sell out, you know. But they'll sell out like at Chicago and stuff like that. And
yeah,
San Diego.
But see, here's the thing. Like, you get Aiden that comes to Houston, but the show is packed. It's good. It's a pretty strong show. People are fans. They're singing along. It's like, it's not like when you go to a show and people are like finding out about it. When you went to see Aiden, those are the fans.
Yeah.
And then, like, to not get any cabbage off of that? Fuck that, yo. That's like, man, yeah. Record label, really, fuck you. Like, how the fuck are you going to do that shit, man?
I've talked to, like, bands, Calabrese, about why they don't play Houston all the time. And, yeah, that's one like, reason. Because, like, Houston's notoriously known for not paying bands. They're like, hey, come here. We'll sell tickets, blah, blah, blah. But you're not going to make any money off the show. Lame.
Houston. That's why we have to drive to San Antonio, right?
Yep. Anyway, let's get back to this movie.
See, we gotta take breaks every here and there. We in the zone right now. And by the way, Joey, have you opened that Blonde yet?
Not yet. I'm still finishing this one.
Shit, do I have to play High School Football Hero by AFI?
Oh, I love that song.
You know what I'm talking about.
One entry, seven, zero. Man, I
don't want the blonde. You okay. Get me another brunette then.
So, again, okay, so we'll get back to this movie soon. Sorry, listeners, but I would go crazy if whenever I see AFI Live and they bust out High School Football Hero, I would just, like, lose it. I was like, oh, my God, are they actually doing this? But I know, like, you know, I've heard that Jade really wants to do those older songs.
Well, hey, Joey, how about this? You play guitar, right?
Yeah.
How about we cover the Amsterdam State Fashionable? You and me. Yeah, why not? We'll play it live.
That's a good idea. Okay.
I mean, the drums won't be that hard to do it. So, I'm a crappy bass player, but I think I could figure it out.
I mean, Jeff was a pretty good bass player. So.
Hey man, I'm fucking over here like kicking myself down. He's fucking epic, believe me. But I'll try my best. God damn it. Motherfucker, you're making me even feel worse now. I'm already here. Fucking make muscle. I'm just going to walk away this stage. You know?
And like, yeah, this was like, gem-wise, Adam, I mean, he was pretty
just played normal punk. Oh, yeah. He just played the 8-beat. Yeah. For the most of the songs, 8-beat was a...
I feel like Adam didn't become like a good drummer or like a great drummer until like maybe Black Cells, I would say.
Nah, I would say shut your mouth and open up your eyes.
Like, listen to some parts in that, but
it's his because if it was a hardcore album, it's the way he actually like held the tempo from, and that's where like it came from though. Like that Black Cells and the Sunset, that melodic that he can actually play on the drums. And that's why I say he's underrated. You probably say that he's, you know, maybe not one of the greatest. I consider him one of the top 10 because he can actually, like, it's his handwork, cymbal work, snare work. Like, he can make a cymbal and a snare just sound like a... And then... Like, and then he can just double it up and just go back and forth with it. He did that on that album.
I think, like, also, like, Hunter helped him out quite a bit because, you know, bass players and, like, drummers always have that connection. So I think, like, Hunter definitely helped out Adam with his sound.
That's true. Even
though it's like, I mean, Jeff was a good bass player, but I'm not going to lie to you, Hunter is way better. Okay, but
Hunter's more technical. Jeff, it's kind of weird to say. It does remind me of a early, like, Steve Harris. But Steve Harris himself pushed his sound more.
Yeah.
Like, if you hear the original Iron Maiden songs, it's usually like, you say it's very hard to play an Iron Maiden song. Yeah, but here's the thing, is like, when, like, you hear Phantom of the Opera, it's, you know, like, you have that, those notes, but then you have the, like, you know, you have, like, the gallop, like, where people say, oh, he's playing so many notes. No, it's the same fucking note over and over and over again.
Like, Harris, the gallop is, like, the toughest thing to play sometimes. It's, like, keeping it going with your fingers again.
Yeah, I remember how hard that song was. I actually played it for high school. But besides the point.
Let's get back to this movie after this thing.
Isn't that what we do here at the Nimrod Horror Podcast?
True. Go on tangent.
Yeah. We'll bring this back up at Leo's Corner or some shit. Yeah, but dude, all right, so that party was boo-boo. The music was boo-boo. Come on, let's be honest. Did you dig the music at that party?
Well, no.
Nah, I mean, they had the trumpet player. They just need that ska sound. Get them people going. Or hit that,
Armor number 5?
Oh, no, I was going to say Hybrid Moments. I mean, Misfits could have made a music video off of the dance because apparently they did with one of the songs. Have you seen the Hybrid Moments video?
Yeah. Well, like, that's not like a official video though.
Whoever did it, props to you, bruh. Honestly. All right, so I mean, Johnny's devastated. He fucking leaves the party. He's heartbroken. Boy comes in a suit. Not a suit, but he comes in a nice Armani suit. I'm hoping that's Armani. Boy got the car. Whatever. Boy Johnny's outside the house, smoking a cigarette. Devastated like a mother lover. And some guy comes up. Creepy as fuck. Just comes up and he kind of gets like a Bowman like name, you know, like he gives, and the storm's coming, by the way. But the thing is, before he does all this, he asks for a lighter, like he asks for a match. Johnny gives him a match and he does this whole thing with lighting a cigarette, which I found pretty creative and cool. Like he's not there, you know. And then that's when he brings up Bowman's whole thing. So, of course, Johnny's like, yo, something's up here. I'm going to follow this guy. He takes off and everything. In the storm, honestly, Betty's a hoe. Straight up. Betty is a hoe. Because the old girl's over there leaving off. And so the movie said that she's about to get married. That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
You know. I would say, Joey, how you feel about this, but since we're short on time, Joey, how do you feel about this?
He like ranted like a lot. Okay, so quick thought about this. Betty was wrong. I don't know. That's I wanna say more, but there's so much left about the movie. I always say that Betty's wrong. Want to say more, but
see, I will admit to you guys, and anyone who's listening, is these first 25 to 30 minutes are actually pretty enjoyable, but not from a horror perspective.
Yeah, like it's a good like story, you know. Honestly, it's almost like kind of a drama, almost.
Yeah. A drama comedy, a comedy drama. There's a lot of comedy moments. You're like, what the fuck? It's just stupid. At the time, I don't think they thought about it, but I mean, I don't know. It comes off. Honestly, I would love this movie to be remade. Just saying it right now. I would love it to be remade. But, all right. So, same character does the same. I don't want to mention any names yet. They do the whole mirror on the road. People get off the road, you know, whole situation again. And they're like struggling to figure out what's going on. So Johnny falls through a floor that sends him shooting. And by the way, that's a fucking horrible, rough landing.
It is.
Only the way the 1930s could do it, by the way. 1920s. Rest in peace, Chaplin. I didn't say Chaplin did it, but, you know, rest in peace, because that was some shit back in the day. So, it's literally what I wrote, what we just said. It's, this movie should have been a horror movie. You have the moment where Amos and Betty come into the house because of the whole storm coming outside, which we're getting all the tropes of the horror business. Too much horror business. Drive and let it know. As I was saying. But you have them come into the house. You have something walking around the house. You have Johnny just fucking freaking out all over the place. And by 30 minutes, 25 minutes into this movie, I don't see the horror elements in this film, like, too much, besides the characters, the creepy characters. But yeah. You kind of, like, I felt like between the fact that you saw the character, which his name is about to come up, and then to this point, you kind of forget it's a horror film.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, again, like, whenever I watch like films back in the day, like today's standards, this would not be a horror film. But back then, you have to kind of think, okay, 1925, this is a straight up horror movie. You're scared probably all the way through.
Well, kind of mentioned the whole everybody already in the house. It is what it is. We are like 28 minutes into the film. It's not even 30, because at point 30, I think I wrote it down too. Yeah, at 30 minutes and something happens. But they find a dead body, which is, you know, weird. Like, all three of them are like freaking out about a dead body. Yeah. Betty, Amos, and Johnny are like fucking just freaked out. And Johnny has like a whole thing about like, oh, there's something creepy out going around the house. And like, you know, you have a person open the clock and then close the clock at the very top, and Johnny's freaking the fuck out. And then Betty notices that you have the classic, you know what I mean, Joey?
It's classic, like shadow,
you know. Oh, hold on, see if I can do it from this side a little better.
Yeah, like the classic like shadow, kind of like Nosferatu type of dramatic thing. You see shadows and things. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you guys will see that in the YouTube edit.
But yeah, So, like, that's, like, cool for, like, these type of movies. Obviously, that was a quick trick to do in these early movies.
Yeah, but we get the nice little zoom up to after a fucking 30 minutes and 17 seconds. We finally get to see Long Chaney, who is Bill top star in this film, by the way.
Yeah.
With his presence that just shifts the movie 100%.
Oh, yeah. It definitely changes at that moment, and it's almost like a, I want to say it's almost kind of a different film at the moment. He plays
Dr. Siska.
Siska, yeah. Which is like, Chaney does a great job with this character. I found him to be kind of a mix of like Karloff and like Vincent Price, kind of
pre though.
Yeah, pre these characters kind of mixed together.
You know what it reminds me of so very heavily of? Like, have you ever seen the music video to The Spook?
The Spook?
Yeah, it's a band called The Spook. It's a song called Fright Night.
Yeah, no.
You haven't seen it? By the end of tonight, you will watch it. Right. There's actually some beautiful, like... I feel it's an homage to two silent films. Whoever did those, if feels to, you'll know what I'm talking about when you see it. And listeners, please listen to The Spook, Fright Night. Amazing song and also an amazing video. It is done so good. Just throwing that out there. But yeah, it's a feeling that when you get Chaney come out there.
Okay.
Joy, what you got?
This, like, for me, I don't know if you feel the same way, Leo, but this is when the film becomes a bit mundane. It's kind of like, it's not like a drag. It still like keeps you into the movie, but it's kind of like, okay, nothing's really happening for kind of a while. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Like, well, the thing is, since it kind of goes back to that whole philosophy that I feel that we've gone through, and it was like the same thing, Rosemary's Baby. Shocking, epic, this, that, but we've already seen it.
Yeah.
It kind of goes to the whole fact, like, it's the first mad scientist movie, it's the first dark house film, like the old abandoned house film, like, it does have all those elements, but since you already know all those elements, especially from, if you're a new fanatic, but a new person trying to get into horror films, this will be right up your alley to be seen or be shown.
Yeah.
But if you've already seen the tropes, if you've already seen all the jokes and the ifs and whats and the ups and downs of it, it just feels like I've already seen this. Been through it, done it, not worried about it. So, yeah. Kind of goes in that territory. My problem with the film at this point was, okay, Lon Chaney, did you notice when he was staring at them? You gave him that glance? So, like, whoa. Bro, And then when he gave that smile, I swear to God, the devil himself turned in his grave. Or turned in hell. Long Chaney gives a stare that could fuck the devil up.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to
I swear
on anything. Yeah, anything else to add to that praise?
I kind of like said it, like, you know, he did a great job. Again, Chaney, I said it earlier during this, like, recording. Chaney is a person, because of her, like, his makeup and like, he does not look the same in, like, any movie. It always looks completely different. I remember when I was a young horror fan, learning about, like, you know, black and white movies, silent movies, and Chaney, like, oh, that's not the same guy. But yeah, no, he does this, like this crazy makeup effects, his crazy costume. But yeah, he does not look the same ever.
So we're going to old boy Dr. Siska, claiming he took over after Dr. Edwards' absences for the mental asylum, which everybody knew where they were heading to. It's a mental asylum. You're going to say something, Joey?
Well, I was going to say something. We didn't mention the servant.
I was going to get to it.
Okay. I'll wait for that then.
Because they're not mentioned fully till, like, right about now. He does introduce Caliban.
All right, so I don't know the actor that plays
Walter James, who portrayed the character in the play, by the way.
Oh. He seems like he had to be like a wrestler at that time.
I don't know about all that, but he actually got the scene in the movies. Like, he actually got the role in the movies because of how well he portrayed it in the play.
You know what's weird? I know this is like a kind of a weird thing to bring up, but I don't know why every scene he was in, it looked like he was like a centaur.
Like a genie?
A centaur, like, you know, half horse, half guy, you know.
It was just his belt.
Maybe it was, because, like, every scene, I was like, is he a centaur? No, he's not. He's just a guy.
Yeah, it's like, well, you're kind of introduced to Caliban. And, yeah, he's like he's a genie. He's a genie in a bottle.
Rub me the right way.
Oh, Joey's asking for some loving. Wait, if we twitter our noses, you think...
That's only like Liz Bank can do that. No. Oh, Elizabeth Montgomery. That was the name.
Oh. Okay. Would you like to think about her a little bit more? Or shall we move along?
Let's move along.
I'll let you think about her for a little bit more. Go ahead, Joey.
Woman. When that show came out, Chevy.
There you go. Do the thing, Brad. Do the thing. As long as you told me, as long as you did not tell me I need to take a break right now, I'll be okay. All right. So, apparently because of the storm outside, no one can leave the premises. You know. Everybody has to stay home, inside, you know. Here's what I find weird. So they go into the house, into the room, all three of them. And for some reason, Betty's looking for, you know, different rooms, different this and different that. And she finds a hidden room that is just a door. It's not like it's behind a bookshelf. It's not like it's behind a wall. It is a literal door. I find that to be the dumbest thing ever. They argue about it. Johnny, at the end, goes to investigate it. There's this whole thing about, you know, Cisco makes an entrance again, which is, well, they try to get them drunk or something, but Cisco comes back. And it's still a Chaney performance. It's like it's very hard to get this whole Chaney performance. Like the movie, like when Chaney's not around, it becomes back to a comedy. It reverts. You know what I mean? It reverts back to a comedy. But when Chaney comes in, he's like the devil incarnate. You take the movie really seriously. And even if you take still frames of the movie, it is so legit horror.
Yeah.
But when you have the other characters being on their own, it's a fucking comedy.
Yeah. Like,
So, what ends up happening is they end up making a fire. It literally knocks everybody out. They're all transferred over to a different place. And, well, Johnny got drunk before that, by the way. By the way, salute, Johnny, for your first alcoholic beverage. Salute.
Like, did he have, again, I might be confused with, like, Riverdale here, but he had rum, right?
No, it was a wine. It was like they gave him the drink and they're like, oh, it might be poison. So they poured into the other cup glass thingy that was supposed to be water or something. And then when Johnny came out the whole thing, he was like, I'm thirsty. Blip, 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 blip. And then he's drunk. And then the fire started, like from the fireplace, there was actually poison that spread through the room. And so everybody knocked out. But I'm pretty sure Johnny was just fucked up and he knocked out of the fucking upness. Yes, fuck up and upness is a word. Leo created it. It's his podcast with Joey. And Joey, do you agree? Fuck up and upness is a word?
It is.
There we go. It is our kingdom, our world. It is a legit thing. End of story. So, this is the thing I find weird. Like, they were already knocked out, caught and everything, and they're still allowed to roam around. When they're investigating, they actually come find this little dungeon place where they do find, you know, Dr. Edwards and what's his face? Bowman. And they explain the story that Cisco was actually a great surgeon who went mad with his experiments.
Just a quick break from the show here. Just remind you guys to check out the band Wolf Skull. That is WULFSKOL. We had the drummer on a recent episode, Heck Terror, so check out
that episode and look up Wolf Skull on Instagram at WolfSkull666 and check him out on YouTube.
Take a jump. It feels like you gave birth. That was right now.
Bro, I've taken a dump where it's an exorcism.
I feel lighter.
Now, are you going to open that damn good beer or not? Thank God. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, Joey's drinking like a man, finally. Praise be Long Chaney. Praise be Nosferatu. Praise be Caligari. Praise be Stephen King.
Yep, I'm getting to my bombshell blonde now. Oh. Anyway, let's get back into the monster. Oh, yeah. Do you feel this movie should have been called something else? Because I think it should have been called something else.
No, I think it was rightfully.
Maybe for the time, I guess.
No, yeah, I guess for the time. But, you know, I always feel like a scientific mastermind doing his crazy stuff is a monster. And... you know what? It kind of goes back to the whole Frankenstein thing. Everybody calls Frankenstein monster. People call him Frankenstein, which we already established that, you know, the monster is the monster. Frankenstein is the human, even though I think Frankenstein could have had the surname Frankenstein. But, it was weird. Today I posted a picture by two penguins. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't see it, but I didn't.
Yeah, pretty much one penguin, the female's husband died. No, it was weird. Like, you know how penguins apparently, like, they are life mates?
Yeah.
Okay, so the female penguin, her husband died a year ago, and then the male penguin, female, died 2 years before that. But it's an award-winning picture that, you know, for like the entire time or a year or something, they'll go back to the same spot and just look into the horizon, like the image, like, of the city.
Yeah.
And like the penguin actually put his little flap like around the female to comfort her, like everything's gonna be okay. But the thing is, they've been doing this for like the longest. No cheating, no nothing. It's just like a friend showing comfort and a friend showing sympathy. Pretty much life showing life sympathy. And that's why I posted it. And my tagline that I wrote on it was, sometimes even our creatures can show us we're more animals than they are. And that's why, because like, could be a dog, could be human, like, not a dog, humans are honestly, we humans ourselves, we're just fuck up creatures. Seems like animals are like the ones that are literally like more loyal than we are.
Oh yeah.
It's just honesty. Like, I said it. Wouldn't it be weird, like, if it was did you make a horror movie where you see everything from a perspective of a human and then you find out that, you know what? Not like Planet of the Apes, because it sounds kind of like Planet of the Apes now, but like, wouldn't it be like the twist where everything's trying to kill you, but I mean, it's already been done, I guess. But, like, humanity itself is just a lesser experience, like a lesser species. But we thinking like we thought we were thinking before shit hit the fan.
Yeah, I can see that.
Science fiction.
I would say let's kind of roll through the last part of this movie. Two times.
I don't know, man. This is a two-parter. All right. So, the way they explained it is Caliban feels like he's Siska's slave. Rigo is the dangerous one. I always find that funny. Like, whenever you read it's like, Rigo's the dangerous one. It's like, what, he's the one ready with the dynamite to blow shit up? And then you got Dan, which is practically harmless.
I thought you said, like, damn at first. And like,
no, damn. Dan. Oh, his damn. Name is Dan. The one that asked for the cigarette, the lighter. He's Dan. Rigo is the creepy-looking one pulling the traps. And Caliban is the genie looking guy, as you call him, the wrestler slash Iron Sheik slash Joey didn't say that. I just threw that in there.
I mean, it fits though.
All right, so there's this whole situation back and forth being caught. Now the thing is, when the fuck does Johnny ever figure out he can type rope? The boy's in the rain doing a type rope situation.
I mean, yeah, I can't like defend that. I put that as like one of those things, like just kind of a random movie moment where like the director was just like, hey, let's just put this in here. You can do it.
Let's just make it happen somehow.
Yeah.
So here we go again. When Lon Chaney's not in the picture, let's just make this shit the most experimental shit we can. All right. So is Johnny versus Rigo. And we don't see what's going on, you know. We go back to a scene where Siska actually has Amos tied to a chair, which eventually we find out it is called the Death Chair, which is an experiment that transfuses the human soul from body to body. Betty's on the other end of it. So, this is where I feel like the movie kind of gets into a certain perspective of some dark-ass shit, in other words. Because Rigo comes down the stairs, you know, he's doing his little, you know, yes, master, yes. And we find out it's not Rigo. It's Johnny. Johnny won the fight outside in the rain.
Yeah.
Fucking lets Amos out. They put Siska on the chair. And Siska starts screaming his ass off. And Caliban comes down. Of course, they remove Betty off the table. So Caliban's like, you know, dude, when I saw that scene itself, like, even the darkness of it, like, they all turned off the lights. So Caliban fucks up. Pulls the switch. But the image itself looks kind of freaky, like, kind of hard, like, weird. You know, like a dude sitting on the chair in the darkness. And then Caliban flips the switch and his soul transfers to nothing. Okay. So leaves the body dead. Thinking, legitly thinking about it. That's a fucked up way to go. And then technically, is he really dead? For a 1920s movie, that is fucking... Think about it.
Yeah. I get your point, yeah. That it is.
Shit's insane, bro. Like, for real. Like, I remember sitting there just looking at that scene and going... Like, he didn't get killed, but his soul, but then where'd his soul go? How would a soul without a body feel? Dude, my mind just shot in so many directions. And at that point, it's when Caliban realizes, oh, shit, I fucked up. But, you know, old boy Johnny with his acquired handcuffs... With his from his diploma,
good old Johnny,
yeah, captures a boy Caliban. The police come in, and then once again we get a nice little happy ending, which pretty much is old boy Johnny gets the respect of the police. He gets the girl, and there's this just. A whack ass ending with a dude hitting a bike at the end of his car, which I would have sued somebody, by the way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give him the fuck. I'd be like, motherfucker, let me see your license. Let me see your registrations. I don't give a shit. You're a motorcycle. You're more fucking. I wish I knew what rights they had back in the day.
No, well, things have changed a lot since then, but.
Yeah. I know I sped up that ending a little bit, but. I mean,
it have a longer episode anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. It kind of goes back to the whole thing. The end. Joey, what are your thoughts?
Again, like, some of my thoughts would be summed up with our ratings, but so I won't say too much right now.
Well, you know what? What is your rating?
Let's just go to ratings, I guess.
Yeah. All right.
So this movie to me, it was enjoyable. It looks good, which a lot of slam movies do look good. There were some flaws with it, obviously. I would give it overall, a bit tough for me. I would go with a 6.5. I would definitely watch it again. It is good to watch. It's, again, the style of this movie looks great. It's an enjoyable, pleasant film, in my opinion. Not the best, but. How about you, Mr. Leo? What would you rate this movie?
Well, I'm actually going to give it an 8.
You always rate things so high.
I'm very nice, I guess. I don't know. I'm just nice. But the thing is, I enjoy these films. Like, I mean, last time I gave a low rating to, what was the name of it? The After School Massacre?
Yeah.
So, 4.5.
I think actual, go on.
Exactly. I'm not that big of a dick when it comes to these movies. Like, there was a lot of comedy in this movie. There was a lot. Like, that's the thing. I enjoyed it. Are we basing it off on the fact how much we enjoy it? Or, you know what I mean, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know me. Like,
yeah.
I enjoy comedy. I enjoy slapstick. I enjoy a good comeback here and there. And this movie actually had that, too. Like, it has some good comebacks. Like, some witty remarks, which yeah. I enjoyed. It was fun. The dialogue was fun. That's the thing. The dialogue was fun. The dialogue and the presentation was, it was epic. It was so much like enjoyment off of it, which you don't even get that in movies, period, nowadays. So I would say some of my negatives on it, like, the soundtrack felt like cartoonish heroic.
Okay. The soundtrack, you can't really judge because, you know.
I can because Nosferatu, Caligari, well, they had some epic soundtracks, even though they've had different soundtracks, which I've heard like the three different ones for all of them. And this one has had two of them, by the way.
I just feel what. Silent movies, sometimes I feel like people just put their own soundtrack to it, so I don't judge the music just because, you know, someone can just put out something with that music in it. Because, yeah,
the thing is,
like, this movie does have, like, cartoonish music.
For 80% of it. But when Chaney comes around, it's not that cartoonish.
If Chaney was on in this movie, my rating would definitely be a lot lower, probably.
I agree with you on that one. Chaney actually saved this movie.
Oh, he 100% did, yeah. And Chaney's done that for like a handful of films, too. But all right, Leo, what's your recommendation? What would you suggest for these people to check out?
I would recommend everybody to check out, I'm trying to remember the episode name, but House on a Haunted Hill. Check out the movie. Check out our episode on it.
That was
me
like
and Joey were blistery drunk, but we got it. We gone through it.
Leo was like super drunk during that.
Hey, don't get me started, fool.
I've been like super drunk in episodes also, so but yeah, like that's a great movie. From 1958. Still to this day, my favorite Vincent Price film. For me, I would suggest the 1934 or is it 1935 film, Maniac. Maniac is a crazy mad scientist horror exploitation film. There are some things that you cannot do in cinema now. If you watch the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a crazy
I think it
movie.
Might go over some people's heads, though, to be honest. Honestly, I think it might just go over people's heads, some of that stuff.
But, like, Maniac, look it up. It is, I think it's on, like, YouTube for free. I know it's on, like, Tubi. It's, like, one of those public domain films, but it is not, like, how House on Haunted Hill. This is definitely a R-rated movie. Again, this was back in the 30s. This movie has like nudity. It has the violence. It's just crazy. But check it out. I legit thought about doing this for like, the podcast. Which I do, but
fuck it, let's do it. stop thinking about it. You already said it. We're gonna do that, bitch. I guess it's the next episode, no?
I don't know. Maybe next episode. Yeah. It's on the schedule, y'all. Maniac, like 1935. Like, we're gonna do it. The film, I think it's like 60 minutes long or 60 minutes long. It's a short movie, but you know. Hey.
Because when we get to October,
yep,
gonna do some fun part threes.
Yeah, so like our like October plan is to do part threes of movies. And here's my thing I love about part threes. I feel like a lot of movie franchises, when it comes to part three, that's when they really kind of break away from what the movie series was, you know. And I can't wait. There is a load of movies I wanted to talk about, but we haven't picked them out yet, but yeah, there is a handful of part threes that I want to talk about. Alrighty, Mr. Leo, where can people find you on the social medias?
You can find me at Pimpalicious Bob on OnlyFans. Whoa. Just kidding. You can find me at XXLeoX. R2D2XX. Damn, that still sounds like porn shit anyways. On Instagram. And you can find me at the same thing on the Discord. But apparently you have to need the numbers behind it. So if I can actually pull that up right now. Actually, no, just find me on the Instagram for now. I'll pull up that shit later. Joey?
And as for me, you can find me at Neymar Horror on Instagram. And for the entire podcast, you can find us at Neymar Horror Podcast, one word, on Instagram, Facebook, and don't forget to check us out on the YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, all that jazz. And I don't know exactly what we're doing next week. It might be my birthday episode because we are like recording these episodes way ahead of time. So
we'll see you guys.
But I am Joey. This is Leo.
Joey, finish it off, yo.
Yeah.